WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here's a conundrum for Mayor de Blasio and probably for mayors and governors all over the country entering their annual budget seasons. How to account for the changes in year one of the Trump administration that we don't know what they are yet. Mayor de Blasio's preliminary budget for the next fiscal year came out yesterday, and WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen tells us it's got no Trump specifics, at least not yet. Let's see what is and is not in the budget plan. Hi, Bridget.
Hi.
No Trump specifics. What specifics were you looking for?
Well, we know that the city relies on federal funding. City Comptroller Scott Stringer put out a report earlier this month saying the city gets at least $7 billion in federal funding. And so we were looking to see if the plan that the mayor released yesterday would adjust any of their spending plans to account for a loss of any of that. The mayor has made very clear that up to now, the city as a sanctuary city has, you know, where President Trump has said he would remove federal funding from sanctuary cities, the mayor has said the city will remain a sanctuary city. So what will that mean going forward? And thus far, we haven't seen any impact. The mayor did identify areas that could be potentially harmed by it. But, you know, in the actual plan that's there, he didn't account for or take anything away from the current preliminary plan.
Right. Do you know some of the areas that he said could potentially be impacted?
Yeah, he talked about in terms of public safety in the NYPD, there are, you know, Homeland Security grants that come from the federal government.
Although Trump, to be fair to Trump, I think has said specifically he would exempt public safety funding from any cuts, right?
That's the mayor laid out five different areas that he put as an area of concern and areas that we know that federal money goes to. And at this point, what he said is while Trump has said some things at one point, he's said other things at other points. And so, you know, at this point, they're waiting to see what these proposals look like when they're on paper, mm-hmm. since when they are tweeted or when they are talked about, sometimes they change.
So that's one. Public safety
is one. Public housing is certainly another. Education was another area. And let's see. There are two more. We have public housing, education.
Well, that's a lot to start out. I know you have the document there. You can look it up while we talk about other things. Do you know this budget is about $85 billion, which is up 15% from de Blasio's first year in office. We haven't had 15% inflation in these 3 years. How does he justify the increase at that rate?
Well, part of what we know has happened is that this administration came in with a different agenda than the administration that preceded it. Key to what de Blasio had campaigned on and what they have done in their past 4 years has been programs that they think the city needed, one of which was pre-kindergarten. That accounts for a lot of the increase in the education budget. That means, you know, 70,000 kids are now going to full-day universal pre-K, and their parents are now, you know, getting that essentially savings when it comes to childcare. That increased the headcount of teachers and also the seats that provide those students with the pre-K. The city's also expanded headcount in some other areas, We often talk about the 2,000 new police officers. That was part of the city's plan to improve the relationship between police and community. So part of the justification when you talk to the administration is there were certain policy goals they were trying to achieve, and this new spending is how they've started to try to achieve the policy goals. On the flip side of that, budget watchers say, yes, but there's also some management issues that we should also be looking at. And are all the agencies being run as efficiently as they can be? The city has put forth a citywide savings plan where they say they've already achieved $1.1 billion in savings. They want to achieve another $500 million by the time the mayor releases his executive budget later in the spring. But a lot of those savings have been achieved through things like debt refinancing and finding some efficiencies, slowing hiring in certain positions, as opposed to the way it was done under Mayor Bloomberg, where there was a set percentage that each agency had to meet to close the gap. That's not how they're doing it in this administration. And I asked the mayor point blank yesterday, was headcount reduction something that was on the table for those efficiencies? He said no. So they're going to be looking for other ways to find more savings.
Listeners, any questions or comments for WNYC reporter Bridget Bergen on Mayor de Blasio's preliminary budget unveiled yesterday? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.
And I'll clarify those two other areas of potential threat were around the city's public hospital system and environmental protection work. That's in the context of the five areas the mayor said could be subject to federal funding cuts if the Trump administration, you know, were to cut from the city's budget.
Now, breaking news in the last hour, the Dow hit 20,000 for the first time. And of course, the Dow goes up and down, and you can't make city budgets over the long term based on one day's or one year's Dow Jones Industrial Average. But when the Dow does well, the city indirectly gets more money. And de Blasio's actually been very lucky in this respect, right? All citizens of New York have, you know, indirectly, but politically for him, good times during his administration in terms of tax flow?
Absolutely. The city overall has benefited from improving and strong economic conditions nationally and locally. Tax revenues have gone up. In 2017, they actually started to tick down a little bit, but the city's projecting that they are going to go back up in 2018. Job growth has hit record levels, and a record number of jobs were created in 2014. The city's independent budget office, though, has said in a report they put out in December that some of that job growth seems to be stagnating, and they're actually predicting a decline in job growth by 2020. So while there are some good signs out there, and certainly the economic conditions have been favorable throughout the mayor's term so far, caution was the watchword of the day yesterday. And given what we've talked about in terms of President Trump's administration, even more uncertainty sort of hangs over this plan. And I think when we see the mayor come back to us later in the spring after he's negotiated with the city council to present his executive budget, we're going to see some more of those adjustments.
Mark in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Yes, Brian, I was listening to you earlier, and you mentioned that the budget has gone up by 15% since the first year of de Blasio becoming mayor. Mm-hmm. And then you asked why, and then the lady explained why. And you also said that inflation hasn't gone up by that much. Are you speaking specifically about the national inflation rate, or is there an inflation rate specific to the New York City region? Because in my time that I've been here, rents have gone up. Although the prices of housing might have been more, an increase in the asset value rather than being probably calculated in inflation rate, mm-hmm. it has placed a tremendous burden on working people. Would you care to comment on that?
Absolutely true that housing continues to go up, especially rents, and placing an incredible burden on working people, no doubt. Would that be reflected, Bridget, in the city budget? Does it affect what the city spends?
Yes.
Or other measures of inflation that, you know, it's a legitimate question. Maybe, you know, inflation as it pertains to whatever the necessary costs of city government are is higher than the national inflation rate, which is much below 15%.
Well, to take a step back, I think what the caller may be getting at, which is an issue that is certainly top of mind for this administration, is really affordability. And has affordability increased or decreased under this administration? And how are they looking at issues of, you know, income equality and affordability in the city? Certainly, that's something that the mayor has set out to address in his, you know, through his policies and obviously through his budget. But, you know, he includes a slide in his presentation each year, and he included it yesterday, of the Oxfam report on the global wealth divide and how 8 billionaires in the world have the same wealth as half of the world. So, you know, this is an issue that's not going
right
away, and it's an issue that certainly a city can't address on its own, but city residents are dealing with it every day in their lives.
Right. You know, that was another question that I wanted to ask too. And Mark, thank you for your call. Please call us again. The organizing principle of the de Blasio administration from day one has been to fight inequality. I feel like we haven't been hearing that so explicitly recently. And I wonder if there's anything in this budget, because, you know, it may sound dry to say, let's talk about the budget. But budgets are the ultimate expression of policy.
Absolutely.
Because that's where a government spends money and tries to actually make things happen. So if the mayor came in with the universal pre-K plan as a major plank, that obviously cost money. They found the money. And that was one of his attacks on inequality. Is there anything at that level, anything that you would say is a fighting inequality as a central organizing principle line in this budget?
So I would say, and I think, you know, the Independent Budget Office, when they put out their analysis in December looking at the city's November financial plan, I would sort of echo some of that looking at this preliminary budget, that this is somewhat of a placeholder, that this lays out the city's plan and the city's finances going forward. But in terms of major policy, you know, something splashy, there wasn't that in this budget. There were lots of new items that would address some key issues that we know the mayor will be talking about throughout the year. He led off with talking about investments in public safety. That was one of the first public press conferences he did in 2017, talking about the city's record low crime statistics. At that press conference, he and Commissioner O'Neill talked about wanting to bring those numbers down even further and making sure it reaches out into all neighborhoods. When you're running for re-election, which he is doing this year, and you have something that you can talk about where the city has made progress, which it has when it comes to crime statistics, but where they want to go further, it makes sense that that would be something that they lead off with.
And so I see in your report they're proposing $275 million. That's a lot of money. That's $250 million in upgrading the firearms training facility that the NYPD uses. Another $10 million for bullet-resistant window inserts. I guess that's in police cars.
Correct.
And $4.5 million to beef up the city's ability to fight gun violence.
So one thing to note is that in the mayor's presentation yesterday, it was a combination of his operating budget for fiscal 2018. That's that $84.67 billion. That's the expense budget. And then he also was giving an update to the 10-year capital plan, which is another $89.6 billion plan. So some of the numbers that we're talking about today are going to be a mix of both.
So that big number for the firearms training facility on Rodman's Neck, that might be a capital expense.
Exactly.
Right, which is different than the annual budget. Another one is education. This is interesting to me. Trying to get everybody at reading level by third grade might mean extending the school year for second graders.
Yeah, he talked about one of the real goals of this administration. You know, they started with pre-K as a foundation, And at this point, they've also been talking a lot about the work they're doing with advanced placement courses in high schools to get students to be college ready and certainly to save money when they're going to college. Some of bridging the technological divide, making sure that students have access to computer science and to the internet. And another key piece of this is making sure that students are at reading level by the time they reach third grade. And so as part of that, they are doing some increased investment to extend the school year, potentially summer school, for some second graders so that, you know, these are not necessarily students who would have been held back the way we traditionally think of summer school, but these are students who need some enrichment, who need some more time to make sure that when they are in third grade, they are at the level they need to so that they can keep moving forward.
And a big number, $500 million for about 40,000 new classroom seats to alleviate overcrowding. I would imagine, given the population growth that seems to go on and on and on in New York with a projected 9 million people in a decade or two, that this has to be a constant expense if they're going to keep up with the number of kids in the city.
Well, it certainly has been a constant issue that every time the mayor is actually due to go up to Albany to testify before the state legislature on Monday of next week, and I've gone to follow him there. In previous years and in those previous instances, he is often asked by state lawmakers, particularly from Queens, where overcrowding is such an issue, about what the city is going to do to address that. So, you know, I think this will be something that folks will be very happy to see is on the plan, is something the city wants to do to make sure that those issues are addressed, that students aren't, you know, going to school in trailers.
And the follow-up question that I have about that, I wonder if anybody asked the mayor, is how much of that extra $500 million to get, you know, seats is going to come from developers who are building and getting permits to build greater density in certain areas, because that's a vital piece of infrastructure when you make a neighborhood more dense, is public school seats.
That's an excellent question, and I think one of the things that we're going to be watching is how this administration continues to move forward on its affordable housing plan. The mayor talked about how they've achieved, you know, record numbers of new affordable housing units in the so far in the administration. A key issue that, you know, they see as being, you know, needed for them to be able to achieve their full goal is a return to 421A. And that's the tax abatement program for developers so that they can build this affordable housing. Certainly something he'll be talking about in Albany, and something that, you know, he raised as sort of a concern among the state budget issues that, you know, was announced just last week.
Seema in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with our Bridget Bergen. Hello, Seema.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. What I want to know is, since we need money, and I have to say I really love this mayor, he really seems to care about people for a change. I want to know how much of this money that we need so badly for schools, for housing, so many people are in need of food in this city. How much of this money we're wasting to keep that security of that orange thing on 57th Street. Why doesn't he just go there and sit there so we don't have to pay for it?
Seema, thank you. A new way to insult the president, that orange thing. but obviously this is a real issue. How much city tax money is going to go for security around Trump Tower in an ongoing way, and particularly during the rest of this school year, I guess, or I guess the new city budget takes place starting next school year after July 1st, when maybe Melania and Barron are going to move to the White House, but we don't know.
Right. So thus far, the city has put out an estimate of $35 million to secure Trump Tower since the election. One of the areas of concern is how much of that the federal government will reimburse the city for. At one point, the number was hovering around $7 million. So certainly that's a huge gap. But the mayor has said, you know, in his conversations with the president, he has signaled and at least an openness to it. And I think that the administration is hopeful they will see more reimbursements. Certainly, you know, we have Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and others who will be helping the city in that fight. But it's an open issue, and it falls sort of under that umbrella of all the other uncertainty when it comes to federal funding and how much that could potentially impact the city should some of that go away.
WNYC City Hall and political reporter Bridget Bergen, thank you very much.
Thank you.